What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chelsea and welcome to your opposition preview of Chelsea facing Brighton on Sunday, 2 o'clock kickoff. And there's only one person I can get on, Mr. Ryan Edsett, Mr. TSR himself, and obviously from Seagull Social, Talk Seagulls, anything to do with Brighton, you just speak to Ryan, to be pretty honest with you. Mate, how you doing?
I love that. Mate, I'm good. Do you know what, when it comes to Chelsea games these days, it used to be a game that I didn't really care about too much, but now it's got a bit of an added edge, isn't it? So it should be interesting to talk to you about Brighton's second team against Brighton's A team. But we'll see what happens, mate.
Here we go. this is what I don't like about Brighton at the minute. This is what doing my head in. This you're the little brother yamming at the ankles, and you think you're like a big deal. You've had one good season, lads. It's fair play. You've done well. But, you know, you won your first game in the Premier League in 2 months last week. So that's something that we need to talk about.
He's getting beaten 4-1 by Newcastle, in fairness. Mate, so I'll take
Newcastle,
my doubt for
us. Newcastle are a good side, mate. Newcastle are a good side.
They are.
But anyway, we'll get into it. Just talk about, you know, this season and how everything's going at Brighton. And obviously, we are going to have to talk about that relationship between the two clubs now. Because you are right. There's as much as some Chelsea fans don't like to admit, there is definitely an added edge now. So I don't speak for everyone, but it winds me up quite a lot, seeing a lot of stuff about Brighton, having followed Azerbi for a long time. But anyway, Brighton, this season, you've kind of kept the momentum. You've done okay. Like I said, though, bit quiet in the Premier League over the past couple of months. But with that, obviously, you've had the addition of Europe. You know, it's the first time Brighton's ever been in Europe. How have you found being a Brighton fan this season?
We're in a tough spot, mate, to be honest. I would say I'm obviously the injuries. I think we've got the most in the Premier League now. So, you know, I think we've got three players obviously banned: Lewis Dunk, Mo Dahoud. I think our injury 11 would probably actually beat the team that we've got available at the moment, which says a lot. Purvis Estupiñán was probably our best player last season. Obviously, spending a large chunk of the season without him and no left back has been tough. So I think we're in a difficult spot despite the win against Forest. And I think that's probably why you saw the celebration police on us. You know, that result in Nottingham was huge for us. But people are obviously on it saying that, you know, why are they celebrating that they won the Champions League? But I don't know, we're in a difficult situation. I'd say the last couple of months in the Premier League, you know, we're not winning games, but we're not completely out of them either. And that's probably the only good thing I'd say with the injuries considered. But I don't know, mate. I don't know. I still think we're a long way off from where probably people associate us to being. Last season, I probably would have come on here and been a lot more positive, you know, saying we'll probably beat you. This time, it's a little bit more like, hang on a minute, we've got Athens tomorrow night. You know, then we've got to get back home. Hopefully no more injuries to add to it. And then we've got to play Chelsea. So in my forefront of my head at the minute, it's just getting that one over the line tomorrow. And then hopefully we can take it to you on Sunday.
Welcome to European football, mate. That's
yeah,
what
you're
it is.
Totally right, mate. And do you know what? I've been so naive to it for so long, because obviously, why would I know? I spent my entire life watching football as my teenage years in the Championship in League One. My whole memories of football is completely different. It's EFL. And now I'm like, fair enough. I see why Klopp was moaning about needing more players. And I used to say, how can you need more players? You spent hundreds of millions already. So yeah, we're well and truly in it now. I can feel it.
And are you enjoying it? I mean, obviously, it's like you said, you've had a couple of results where maybe the fairy tale didn't continue in some people's eyes, and the narrative that people wanted to talk about, the Athens game at yours and all that sort of stuff. How have you found travelling around Europe following your team this year?
Yeah, it's surreal. I did Ajax. I'm not doing Athens, unfortunately, as much as I'd love to. But, you know, provided we get through this one, we'll be back and hopefully go into some of the knockouts, which would be, they're memories that will last a lifetime, you know, for us. I mean, these are sort of things that we could only even dream of. We would never have thought that this would have even happened. You know, I used to dream of being in the Premier League playing big teams. And now it's, you know, that narrative's gone. I don't care about that anymore. It's now the next step. And all of a sudden, the Champions League's, you know, in people's minds, surreal sort of dreams that people now have as Brighton fans is, could you imagine we got Champions League? But mate, it's been unbelievable. Roll on Athens tomorrow. All I care about is getting a result there. You know, it's going to be a hard storm to ride, because you know, we all know that these sort of teams away from home are tough. They proved it when they came to the Amex. So I'm not particularly confident, but as long as we get a point over the line and then hopefully win the group against Marseille, I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it was a tough group, in fairness, you know. Well, on paper, obviously Ajax this season have just been, you know, Pete, when I was speaking to my dad about it, he was like, yeah, but, you know, you're still going to play Ajax. I'm like, Ajax isn't Ajax. Ajax is, I'd say right now, probably the equivalent of what, you know, Forest when they're in the Championship. You know, you don't go to them, like, Forest won two European Cups in the 80s. It's like, I get there's the club superpower thing, but yeah, it's very different. But moving forward, obviously, you get through that. In case people are wondering, obviously we're releasing this on the Friday, they'll be like, why are they talking about Athens? It's because we recorded it on Wednesday, ironically. Yeah. We all have lives. So with that being said, obviously, let's look at it as, you know, that game's happened. Whatever happens, happens. You come into this game on Sunday and you're already saying, you know, you'd feel quite confident in saying you'd beat us. Understandably, you know, you might not have seen as much as Chelsea. And obviously the table, you are above us. But in fairness, to be honest, it is a shock. This is what I mean. You guys have had one or two good years. You've not had the consistent success.
I love it. I love the fact that Chelsea, like the Chelsea fans that have actually supported Chelsea for a long time, they could, all you guys just think of the Champions League wins, the iconic Chelsea. And don't get me wrong. And do you know what? It's quite funny because in my family, the other side of my family, that there is Chelsea fans. There's quite a lot of Chelsea blood in my family, which is quite funny because I've got nothing to do with it. I've always been Brighton because of my dad's side. So I've never actually had any beef with them. I've always been like, do you know what? Like, fairs. Like, I don't really mind. Man United, I don't like United. I don't like, you know, but Chelsea, I didn't really mind. And then all of a sudden I'm getting death threats on DMs and I'm like, do you know what?
I'm not thinking about the iconic Champions League win. I'm not thinking about all of that. I'm genuinely just thinking about, as a club which has been stable and successful for 25 years, you know, I'd say the club's been fairly stable for 25 years. The past couple, definitely not. Last year, yeah. I think it's fair to say no. But
I'll take my trolling hat off, Louis. What's it actually, you know, on an internal perspective? Because obviously we all laugh and joke, whatever. But what's it actually like, Chelsea fan-wise, the last couple of years? Because from the outside looking in, and this isn't me joking, it genuinely just looks like a bit of a mess and a bit of a free hitter at spending a billion, whatever. But then I suppose that's probably just mainstream headlines, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
what's it
spend
actually
billion.
Like as a Chelsea fan? Yeah, go on. This is what I want to know. What's it actually like?
Well, I mean, this is look. I like I say, I don't like to speak for everybody. That's not what I do. It's not really my bag. But in my opinion, I think look, this year and last year, there's obviously a lot of issues. And there's, look, someone who's studied football for the best part of, you know, a decade. You know, I did my bloody degree in it. I do studied football business.
Yeah.
You know, I look at it, so I'm there a bit like, okay, well. With Chelsea right now, even just taking football out of it as a business model, I don't think it's working personally.
Yeah.
I do think there's certain things which need to be adapted, but that's always going to happen when you have new people come in who want to put their own imprint on stuff, and it's going to take time to settle. My problem is that the way that they're looking at how they're trying to settle it doesn't match up with how it should work. You know, as much as I said, sometimes you've got to take the football out of it and you just look at it as a business. Football as a business itself is very, very individual. There's nothing else like it. So when they're turning around saying, well, in the MLB, we did this, so we're going to do this portfolio model, which worked for us in baseball, but you know, it doesn't work in football. Football is probably the fastest changing sport on the planet, as you very well know, you know, for the past 2 years. You know, it's a case of
past three years ago,
Ryan, we wouldn't be having this conversation about you trying to Billy Big Bollocks us about Brighton being above us on the table. It wouldn't happen. Whereas now, different conversation. So for me, like this whole dynamic which Chelsea are going through right now, it will eventually improve. It will, but the thing for me is that they need to find a way to improve it quickly. They need to understand. There's certain things we talk about in the pod all the time where, you know, it's great we're signing toddlers, but we don't want to sign Colombia's under-3 captain. We want to be signing, you know, Ivan Toney now. We've got all these youngsters. We've got this portfolio. We've done the homes under the hammer. We've done location, location, location. Right, can we actually now go and get ourselves sorted, get ourselves stable, and have these players develop in the right way? Have the people around them to do that. I think we've got the manager to do it. I think he's maybe, he might not be the manager for the next decade, but he'll definitely be someone who I think will help lay the foundations of how these players can evolve and develop. But, you know, Chelsea over the past 20 years have been a club, as much as people from the outside say, it's not stable. You had constant managerial changeover. You've had, you know, players that maybe have more power than they should. They've had situations go all over the place. Chelsea is a basket case of a club. It is, but you had the constant of, this is the culture, we win trophies, it's that simple. And that was what it was. It was hard, it was cutthroat. Whereas now, to go from that to, right, this is a project in the space of, what, let's be honest, at the time, about 6 months, that was always going to cause a lot of friction.
The project thing, I just... And this isn't me trying to say, you know, I told you so to Chelsea fans. But I think when I went on that, I think it's Alex Goldberg's podcast I went on when they signed Potter. And I said, you know what, I'm going to take my, and I take my salty hat off, and we're just going to have a conversation as if I'm sort of an outsider looking at Chelsea. And I just thought, I couldn't see Potter ever working there. I struggle to really see Poch just purely on the basis you say that that project thing seems so far-fetched for fans that are so used to success and quick success. And that's, I think, what, you know, particularly Potter is, he couldn't take criticism here. You know, he couldn't take when we had 20 boos against Leeds at home. It got still mentioned to this day, probably. And, you know, then he goes to one of the biggest clubs in the world. He goes to one of the biggest clubs in England, definitely. And you've got a Champions League expecting, you've got a win every other week expecting side, you know, and fan base that is going to basically be on your back if you don't get three results in a row. And that's what happened. And it was exactly unforeseen, I don't think.
I mean...
This isn't just Potter conversation. I mean,
I know. But with I mean, Pochettino, he's got a proven track record. You know, he is an elite manager.
Yes, and
you can already,
for sure.
You can already see, you know, this side is just short of a centre forward, I'd say. And Robert Sanchez, he's been great for us this year. You know, he's a solid goalkeeper, but, you know, he's not a goalkeeper which is going to win you titles. You know, he's better than Kepa. He has arms.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's
what do you think of Sanchez, actually? That's interesting.
I like Sanchez. I think he's a good keeper.
Is that convincing yourself, or is that actually
I like Robert Sanchez. I think he's made important saves. And for me, when it comes to football, that it's the basics. When people talk about goalkeepers and they go, oh, the distribution before, talk about them using their hands. That's a problem for me. It's the same with defenders. You know, oh, he's great playing the ball at that. Yeah, but can he defend? No. Hmm. Well, why is he a defender then? It's like Trent. I think Trent's fantastic going forward. I think he's a great player.
Yeah.
But right back, he's shite. So I think...
Yes, I agree.
Realistically, yeah. I mean, look, with Chelsea and obviously the whole situation with us this year, I think Pochettino knows the culture. He understands it because he's been at elite level. He's an elite level coach. Graham Potter was... I put him in the Brendan Rodgers at Liverpool category. And I think De Zerbi's in the same category. You know, this is why I think he was so good at Sassuolo in Italy, because, you know, they're a side which were smaller, fighting the bigger boys. You put De Zerbi in a Man City or a Real Madrid, which he's being touted with right now, it won't work, because it's not just a case of he needs the time. It's a case of I don't think he would operate as strongly as he has done in the past without being that underdog. I think if he went back to Italy, if he went to like AC Milan, went to Juventus, got his colours in Europe there, because they're still underdogs in Europe now. You know, if he got his colours there and then Real Madrid came calling, I could see him doing it. But to make that step from Brighton to Real Madrid would just be nuts. But that's by the by.
Yeah, if you put that as De Zerbi, because I saw you linked to Real Madrid, and I agree with you. I don't think it should even be a conversation. I don't think he should actually, a conversation in general of any players leaving should be a conversation. Because I just think fans, players, managers, coaches, all of this at Brighton at the minute, it might sound ridiculous, you know, it might just sound me being biased, but for once, it needs to just wait for a bit, because I just don't see the majority of this squad, barring maybe like a Lewis Dunk or someone more established, doing well anywhere else. And that's, I think, particularly applies to De Zerbi, because I love De Zerbi, but he needs another 2-3 years really at Brighton in Europa League, competing in Europa League or qualifying for Europa League again, consolidating yourselves as a European football club. Those sort of things is what he needs to do. He's not even thinking in the conversation of competing, of, you know, with Pep and Klopp as the best managers in the world yet.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. That's the thing. I mean, let's get on to that, actually, because I want to talk about all that sort of stuff, because you talk about consolidating, put yourselves in a stronger position, right? The way that, I'll be honest, right, another reason that I feel that Brighton gets under my skin, I think Tony Bloom's fantastic owner, Paul Barber, what's his beef? For example, when Caicedo, when Caicedo came to us, he was talking about Liverpool, you know, saying how, you know, he could have gone to a club with history and heritage and all this sort of stuff, when realistically, from a business perspective, again, purely business here, Chelsea have, you know, invested a lot of money into Brighton. You know, well, your stadium cost 90 million. We paid off your stadium. Obviously, we didn't pay it off, but, you know, mathematically, we paid off the deal for your stadium with that Caicedo deal alone. Kukurea, 60 million. Your manager making, well, at the time, Graham Potter, making him the most expensive manager in football history. What is this? Why is this such a toxic relationship, do you feel, between the clubs? Because Brighton, as an entity, your model has been built on, you know, selling players to then find those next gems, to then develop them, to sell them on. Like, why is this all of a sudden causing such a rift? And why is there such a need for owners and CEOs to have a dig at each other? I don't get it.
Because I don't think we were a selling club before. You know, Ben White was the first big sale, but before that, he stayed for another year. I think we were quite known for retaining players that are our best players. And this goes back to when we were in the Championship. And this is probably where we really earned our, particularly Tony Bloom earned his colours as being a tough negotiator. Because I know it's completely different, but it's relative to where we were in the time. So when we were in the Championship, Anthony Knockhart was by far the best player in the Championship, by far. So he was linked to Newcastle, he was linked to Leicester, I think. He was linked to a couple of clubs in the Premier League. And this was like, you know, when we saw Premier League clubs wanting our players, we were like, my God, what's going on here? I think Lewis Dunk was linked to West Brom and Fulham. And again, these are smaller clubs, but this is a situation where we were like, okay, we finally got big players now that are wanted by champion Premier League clubs. So you've got to set your minds to the relativity of where we were. Yeah. So Championship club wanted by lower end Premier League clubs. In that moment, it's daunting. So we retained Knockhart, which is the first one, which was really, really important. I think we rejected £11 million in the Championship at the time, would have been our record sale by a margin. And not to mention our record signing was only £2.5 million in Craig McHale Smith. So we were in a situation where we were basically being bombarded for Lewis Dunk, Dale Stevens, Anthony Knockhart, three players who single-handedly got us promoted in the end. We retain them. So then we sort of, you know, okay, we don't get pushed around. We've retained Knockhart. We've retained Dunk. Dunk's still in our team to this day. Dale Stevens was a good player, particularly under Chris Hughton. And then Anthony Knockhart was a great player until, unfortunately, it all sort of went downhill for him personally. But again, would have been a great player for us, I think, if it wasn't for all of that stuff, which we won't go into. So we get into the Premier League. Again, we're consolidating and not selling our best players. Pascal Gross stayed. Glenn Murray at the time stayed, Lewis Dunk again stayed. And, you know, we're in a situation where we're growing again to that next step. We haven't sold anyone. And then all of a sudden now we're competing with the Big Six, which they don't like. Big Six don't like being competed with. So this is where it was like, okay, Brighton are getting better now. So I think we went for, I think it was Ben White was first bid for. And he actually said, to be fair to him, he didn't want to go at first. And it was only because of the sort of the big offer that he was offered at Arsenal. He said he would have happily stayed, and no doubt. But when you get away £50 million for, at the time, was not even our best defender, it was always going to happen. And then that's when you've got a situation where, okay, now people are going to associate us with a selling club, because we've built all of this without selling, whereas we actually haven't. We've actually built quite consolidated, and then we changed our business model in 2019 to recruiting youngsters, whereas before, actually, it was totally different to that. We were going to the Netherlands, spending, you know, valuable sort of 15, 20 million on pretty rubbish players, in all honesty. We were going to particularly Europe, which is quite a lazy thing for a newly promoted team to do, and try and pick up someone good from the Bundesliga, try and pick up someone decent from Serie A, try and pick up someone decent from Eredivisie. And actually, you're not really attaining anything of any quality. It's at most keeping you in the Premier League, and that's it. We changed it in 2019, nearly got us relegated. But it's a situation where, you know, we turned over everything. We got Graham Potter, into his credit, built a good foundation playing style-wise at the club. Although I don't agree with the Chelsea fans to say he's the reason it happened. But I think that he definitely helped. He's jumped on a boat that was going like this anyway.
So what were the other reasons with that? Sorry to cut you off, but what, like, obviously he was a big part that kind of he set the wheels in motion from the outside looking in terms of laying the playing foundation, as you said. What is the other reason then? You saw Graham Potter, and that's all crap back on what we were saying, but you've got Graham Potter, and then you've got what Tony Bloom and the ownership sort of like setting that trajectory with that
ownership.
Tony
Bloom, Paul Barber, Dan Ashworth was a big thing for us at the time. So we got hold of Dan Ashworth from the FA, and that was huge. And I think that was what really set us apart from the teams around us at the time, was that we've got someone who's a proper director of football, proper technical director, whatever you want to call him. He's going to get hold of these players and pretty much snipe them out of thin air. And I think if it wasn't for Newcastle getting their huge, big money inflation, again, I think he probably would have stayed. I think he did reject, I think it was Spurs or something like that. I think, Graham Potter did reject Spurs. Yeah. And then Potter rejects Spurs as well. So sorry, Spurs. But no, it was, we've retained people. We've retained Dan Ashworth. We've retained Graham Potter. And this is probably the narrative that Big Six fans forget just because of the past year. And I think this is where it probably got a bit toxic, in that Arsenal fans weren't too bad over the Ben White thing. There's a few, but there wasn't too bad. And again, it was Trossard just started refusing to play, refusing to train, walked out in on training in De Zerbi. You're only going to do that once as a player. If you're going to walk out on anyone, I probably wouldn't do it to De Zerbi, because he ain't going to have that. So that was a case of, you've walked out on me, you're going. Regardless of who you're going to, okay, you've managed to fall on your feet at Arsenal, fair play, but you're going. but he's gone. And that was out of the equation. Sanchez did the same. So he's gone. And again, we didn't even want Sanchez. Sanchez kicked up a fuss when we were third player. He was our third best keeper. Behind Jason Steele, now Bart Verbruggen by far is probably our best goalkeeper.
I still find it nuts that you're saying Jason Steele is a Premier League goalkeeper.
It's insane, isn't it? It is insane, to be fair. And I must admit. I know. And mate, I love Jason. I think he's great. If you listen to his story, it's really interesting, actually, about how he's like really struggled with like mental health and then got into like that next step. And, you know, Brighton really helped him with finding himself as a player again. Don't get me wrong, I don't think he's a world beater. He's never going to keep us in Europa League or pushing for Champions League or anything. But he certainly helped along the journey, you know. I think that's great. But then if you put yourself in Brighton's shoes now, we've recruited a bunch of young players. And this is my point now. You've got all these players now, Verbruggen, 21 years old. You've got all these young players that are now taking over our team, Simon Adingra, Julio Enciso. Don't even need to get into half of the names. But they're not ready to go. They need that extra couple of years. And I think that's the difference with Chelsea, was we lost Bissouma when he wasn't actually our best player anymore. It was Caicedo. And then we actually lost McAllister in a situation where he was. But before McAllister sort of got into our best players, it was Bissouma, it was Mwepu, it was all these players in that midfield. We were ready for that step up. I think Chelsea sort of came in with big bucks and was just like, we're taking him anyway. And I think that's probably where it was a bit like, you're just flexing your money at us and we can't say no to it because players are going to go. And we've actually regressed as a squad because of it. And I think that's probably where the fans don't get on with each other, because it's a bit like you get onto social media and you've just got like, I know they're not real Chelsea fans, they're sort of just like troll football Twitter accounts, but you've got people being like, you know, we'll get him if we want him, don't stay at your little club, you don't want any trophies, not that we care about trophies anyway. And I think that's where it comes from, the toxic banter. And then, you know, you've got the Colwill situation, which was all just a bit crazy and a bit stupid, really.
This wasn't crazy. He wasn't your player. this is what I mean. That's where it pisses me off.
I had a good insider about Colwill, which I probably shouldn't say on here, actually. I'll probably tell you afterwards, because that was quite interesting. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But I heard a good little scoop on him, which I might be able to tell you about. But I'll explain. But yeah, I think overall, the whole sort of thing has been, it's just pretty petty, isn't it? It's a bit like when you've got two rich best mates and they're sort of just showing off. He buys a Lambo and he's going to buy a Ferrari and he's going to buy, you know what I mean? And like, he's got the new watch and he's going to get another watch. And I think that's just what it's turned into. And for every watch that we buy, Chelsea are going to buy five of them. And I just think it's a little bit like, it's a bit of a petty beef, isn't it, really? It's a bit of pointless. A rich man's beef. I think that's where we've got ourselves into, really. But it's quite entertaining. And to be honest with you, it does make me dislike your club, which adds to an extra little bit of a rivalry. And, you know, it makes me want to look out for the fixture. And I can't wait to be at Stamford Bridge on Sunday. Because that, you know, I will be booing them. I will be booing them by default. Like, you know, that's just what it is. So we're just going to be...
That's really what I don't get. I don't get it. When you, in the cup game, it's like... I saw my tweet, didn't you? I was like, so I literally, there's the Bovril gate, right, where you guys go in to go into the shed and stuff. Or, well, you don't even go there. In cup games you do, but obviously normally. So I had a bit of a mind boggle where I basically went, oh, do you know what? I'll use my usual little cut through to get through to my seat. And the brain fart kicked in. I forgot it was a cup game. I just switched off. I was like, I was going in, trying to get in the ground, walking out.
Yeah.
And I have the very, this is where it really got me to begin with. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. This is ridiculous. Where the very typical, the stereotype of what you'd imagine a Brighton resident would look like. You know, the Carhartt, a bit of a surfer boy, but a bit of a posh surfer boy. Just the usual dickhead type.
I love a bit of Carhartt though.
I love Carhartt, but you know, I'm not gonna, you know the type, right? Have one geezer look at me and goes, "Yeah, Louis, are you ready to see a seagull maul a lion?" I was like, "The fuck is this? What are you doing? Shut up! Behave yourself!" Like, I'm not looking at it like, you know. I start to sound like a Liverpool fan or like an Arsenal fan from 10 years ago, which I'm very worried what Chelsea fans are going to start to sound like over the next few years if we're not careful, but. You know, this club won the Champions League 3 years ago. Who are you? Behave yourself.
I think
you know,
that's what it is, though, Louis. It's like, you know, it's with Brighton, we're living in the now. And I think that's probably where the difference is. Half the stuff that Chelsea fans bring up to us, it almost makes us laugh a bit because it is in the history, it is in the past. And yeah, maybe it is sounding like one of the Arsenal or the United fans when they're
But it's not because there's recent history and there's Liverpool going, we're one of the best clubs in Europe. We won the Champions League in 2005.
Liverpool fans and their banter are so funny. This is
what I mean. Like, it's like, it's history, but it's recent history with players that are still in this squad. These are current players. And I get that the past 18 months, Chelsea have been not as, you know, strong as people expect, but that's because of the business model and how everything's developing. And, you know, we'll have to see what
happens. Are you in your banter era, Louis?
No, we're not. Not yet.
I just thought I'd ask the question while it was in my head.
not yet. I don't think it's going to be for a little while, hopefully. But, you know, we'll have to see. I think obviously you've mentioned the squad, obviously, and players that we should keep an eye on. You know, you said in Cisco, you've talked about Estupian, you know, all these amazing players. And I'm not looking at this as a, who are Chelsea going to buy next? Which is what some idiot will bloody ask, probably. But in terms of the game on Sunday, you've mentioned all of your massive injury list. Who's the players that we should be looking out for? Because we took on a side which was ravaged by injury last week and fell apart. So, you know, it all depends on what happens on the day. Who should I be worried about and what should I be expecting?
Tell you what, we've got this great under 18. I'm joking. I must admit, we are bare bones. So from back to front, I mean, you're looking at Verbruggen probably in goal, which is good. We haven't got a right back unless it's Veltman. Because Lamptey got injured again. We haven't got Dunk. So it'll have to be Van Hecker and hopefully Igor, but there's a doubt on him as well. So in which case, and Webster's injured too. So there could be a case that we've only got one fit centre-back. We haven't got a left-back fit. So that could be Pascal Gross at left-back, potentially.
Your most creative Martin's player injured, at left-back? So. Interesting. Because he's at number 10, isn't he?
I think, honestly, he's played every position in our football club apart from goalkeeper. I'm not even joking. I've genuinely seen him everywhere. Wow. He used to play right wing, played right back for a bit, played holding mid, played centre mid, played attacking mid, played up front, played on the left, played on the right. But yeah, I think, probably Gross left back. I don't even know. It was obviously Estupiñán's out, Milner's out, Smarch is out. Midfield-wise, Dahoud's out. So it'd probably be Gilmore, probably.
Miss him.
I like Gilmore. God, that's now we're pushing it. Dunk out again. Sorry, Gilmore. Up front, we probably have Mitoma's out. So it'll probably be Aciso's out. So it'll be Welbeck's out. Ferguson's fit.
I like him. Evan Ferguson's not going to be a £200 million centre forward, but unfortunately, I think someone's going to end up paying that for him.
They will probably end up being us
in the next 3 years, probably. And I really hope not.
So it'd be Ferguson, yes. Dingra fit, just depends on Thursday. and then left wing, I don't think we've got a fit left winger at the minute, have we? Who do we play? Oh, João Pedro, Ansu Fati. Ansu Fati's injured. So it'd be João Pedro. Yeah.
Okay. Mate, so realistically,
bare bones.
If we're going to look at the game on paper, but like I said, Newcastle game's evidence, the game's not
If you don't beat
paper.
Us, it's quite embarrassing. But I think they'll be up for it, which is a good thing. That's the thing.
That'd be interesting. But yeah,
Unbiased Hat says, if you don't win, you've got to be looking at yourselves.
If you go look at it from just football, that's
but they'll be up for it. And that's the difference. I think, you know, we'll be up for it because we want to beat Chelsea for a start. And also, half of these players got a point to prove because they want to stay in the team when our best players come back. So, you know, there's a case for that as well. But it'll be a tough game, mate. Be a very, very tough game. Obviously, we've got another game in between that, so it'll be interesting. It's different playing on Thursdays, unlike you.
No, because we used to play on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, mate. That's
I was waiting for the Tuesdays, Wednesdays back. I gave
look, like I said,
it's been a good conversation, Louis.
You're just fitting the stereotype, which I was banging on about at the beginning. You're just fitting it. Don't know why you want to do that. We'll have to see what happens. I'm intrigued. For me, I'm not looking at it as it's Brighton. I want to beat Brighton. I'm just looking at it as I just want to get points on the board at this point. You know, I want us. You know, I think, like you said, with that, and then I've looked at our run of fixtures. I genuinely think by the end of January, because we're not that far away, we'll be in the European places. I'm confident in that. I think
you will?
The run we got. Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, we've got a really solid run, and it's. I think. This season with Chelsea especially, like last year was just a write-off and they learned their lesson, hopefully. But it's kind of a case of, because our squad is so young now, I'm looking at it and I'm going, right, you're going to have games where you should beat the team in front of you, Newcastle, and you don't quite do it. Brentford, low block, you can't do it. But then you'll play against another team with low block and you'll beat them. You know, with you guys, look, it's going to be a good game. You will play. That's how you do your football. That's how De Zerbi does his thing. That's how he's always done it. So, you know, hopefully we can do our bit as well. But anyway, mate, listen, we're gonna leave it there. I'm gonna love you and leave you. I've actually supposed to have boxing training in 20 minutes, and that's a half an hour journey. I'm gonna get absolutely torn a new one by my coach. But anyway, we'll definitely catch up another time. We'll talk after the game. And guys, if you want to see anything, TSR, see a great, you know, thing which Ryan's been setting up over the past year, 18 months properly, where it's kind of got going. 3 years, no, but like last year you've really got it going, and it's been great.
Thank you, mate.
And we'll definitely have a catch. We'll talk after the game.
Tom, man, thank you, mate. Cheers for having me on.
Cheers.
Thank you. Thanks. Cheers.